I'm not muted. Praise God, right? Am I on? No? Yes? I'm muted? I'm not muted. Is there a different headset? It's better? It's on? Okay. It's not muted. Okay. Alrighty. Good morning, ladies. It's on. Welcome back. We were gone for a week, or actually I was gone for a week. You ladies weren't with us. We took a little break, but I was at the Pastors' Wives Conference, the Senior Pastors' Wives Conference, which is an annual event held at Merida Hot Springs, the Bible College out there, and it's a great time for me to get away, to be refreshed, to glean from what I call seasoned pastors' wives. Those who have been in the ministry 40, 50 years. They're the women who teach, who come, and who we glean from. And I, being that we lived in Florida for 10 years, I know a lot of pastors' wives from the East Coast. So it's a really neat time for me to get to see them once a year. And so it's a neat opportunity for me to visit with pastors' wives I haven't seen in a long time, and then also to glean so that I can come back refreshed, fill up, and then I can pour out to you women. So it was an incredible blessing. This year was different, though, I thought, than any other year that I have been there. And I think it's because a lot of the senior pastors' wives who are seasoned, those seasoned saints, they have been going through it, I would say, going through it. They've had several of them battling with cancer, and many of the others are battling with other things. If it's not a physical ailment, it's something radical that's occurred in the ministry. And I have one hair. There it is. Got it. It's like right in the middle. But what was such a blessing for me is that when you sit there and receive from somebody who's been going through the fire, let's say, they are more vulnerable and broken. And we, people who have only been in the ministry, let's say, 20 years, can glean even more so from them, because it makes you feel like they're real. They are going through the same things that I'm going through, and it, you know, you're relatable. So with that, I just was very, very blessed, but especially by one of the speakers, Karen Johnson. Her husband pastors Calvary Chapel, Jeff Johnson. Anybody? Downey, thank you. Calvary Chapel Downey. And they've been in the ministry for 40-plus years, and she was so transparent and had shared with 900 other pastors' wives about her disobedience to the Lord recently in a matter that the Lord was calling her to be obedient in this particular area, and she refused. She resisted that obedience. And she became physically sick because of it. She had a pain in her back that the doctors could not figure out why she was having this debilitating pain in her back where she couldn't function. And long story, but she went through months and months with this pain and to the point where she could not function. And yet all along it was that the Lord had asked her to do something. And she didn't do it. And when she finally was on a walk with her husband, she said, "Do you think it's because of this?" And he said, "You think?" And right then, when she confessed it to the Lord, he brought it to her mind. She confessed it to the Lord. She went and took care of what she needed to do. The pain left, and it was gone. And so for me, I remembered that as I was preparing my notes, because that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. Obeying the Lord and exactly what obedience is. Oswald Chambers said, all of God's revelations are sealed until they're open to us by obedience. It's a question, ladies, of obedience. And instantly, the relationship with the Lord is, as with Karen Johnson, perfected. It's opened. It's healed. It's hindered by our lack of obedience. But once we do that easy or hard thing that God's calling us to do, that the Holy Spirit puts his little finger on so gently, once we obey that, big or little, it's amazing to see what occurs in our life personally. Have you found that to be true, though, in your own life? That there's an area, maybe the Lord has called you or quickened you in your spirit, and you have chosen not to obey that. I know I've done that before, just to kind of break the ice in case you haven't ever had that happen. And it's a miserable place for a believer to be, knowing that you're supposed to obey in an area and yet not doing it. I will tell you that the power is available in the Holy Spirit to obey, but yet many of us do not draw from that power. Well, in our scripture this morning, which is a very, very heavy passage, I must say, as I read it, I felt my spirit grieved. I don't know if any of you, as you read through verses 18 through 32, I immediately felt a heaviness, a burden upon my heart for people that may be found in this list of 24 sins that Paul lists for us. But then quickly, the Holy Spirit put his little finger on my life and said, that is you, and that one is you too, and this one is also you. And so I felt like for me, God was doing a little cleaning of house this week. And for you, my prayer is that you too would look at this list of 24 sins and not look at the biggies, and then forget to look at those that we would say are insignificant. Gossip, backbiting. And I'm going to go through a few of these that we would classify smaller sins with you, because I believe that that's where most of us struggle in this area. And so I want to share with you what God has placed on my heart. But let's pray first. Lord, we come before you today, God, and I ask that you would help me to deliver this message with grace, God, for I have just walked it through. And so we trust, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is here, that he will move upon our hearts, God, that he will convict us, if necessary, of any wrong. God, anything that would hinder us from walking with you or being further used by you, God, we want to obey. So we trust that you will do that today, God. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think we've all been there, as I said, in this list that I'm going to share with you about these 24 sins where the wrath of God will actually come upon the world because of these sins. But the Bible says, you know, in Luke, that as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. What were the days of Noah like? Like today. Like we live in. Even worse probably now, what we're living in, than in the days of Noah. Everyone, the Bible said, was given over to sensual lust. Sounds very similar, doesn't it? I'm going to read to you, and maybe you want to flip there. Go ahead and flip to Luke 17 so you can see exactly with your own eyes what I'm going to read to you. Luke 17, beginning with verse 26. So when somebody quotes this verse, now you know where it's at. Luke 17, verse 26, it says, just as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man, when there are eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage, until when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, there were eating and drinking and buying and selling and planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with the goods in his house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let him who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife who turned back. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. I tell you, in the night there will be two in bed. One will be taken, the other will be left. There will be two women grinding together. One will be taken, and the other will be left. It's time, ladies, to start living a righteous life. And we know, because we talked about it 2 weeks ago, what does righteous mean? It means living right, doing what's right versus what's wrong. And we know that because we were created with the innate ability to discern right from wrong. My child, my daughter, my youngest, but my children, when they were very tiny, before I could teach them right from wrong, they knew certain things were right and others were wrong. But then we needed to instruct them in the way. So we were created with an innate ability to discern, apart from knowing the scriptures, what is right in our spirit from what is wrong. We were created with that. We have to. This world depends on the believers, the people who call themselves Christians, living a life that is right, that is based upon the word of God, a life that is obedient. That is what we need to do. No longer being hypocritical in our walks with the Lord, saying one thing and doing another, coming to church on Sunday and then going and living a carnal life the rest of the week. And I say this because it's out there. It's everywhere. People, and you may know people yourselves who name the name of Christ, say, I love the Lord, but their life is completely opposite of that. People are watching us very closely. You know that, right? If you say, I'm a believer, you better bet that people are going to be watching you very closely from here on out. And most of the time, they're watching for you to what? Mess up. Make a mistake. And that happens from time to time, doesn't it? And that gives us a great opportunity to humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness. But I listened to the prophecy conference last weekend. I don't know if any of you got to hear. This great pastor was teaching, my husband. It was awesome. But he was teaching at Calvary Chapel Golden Springs, and I listened to him, and I took notes because I really wanted to understand the 70 weeks of Daniel. And I told my husband, he's like, why did they ask me to do a prophecy conference? I said, because you can take something hard and make it easy. And we can all understand it. And so I said, you take the 70 weeks of Daniel, and you take it down to a junior high level, and we're good, right? We can all understand it. So I wanted to take notes, and I did. And it was incredible, because right away after the teaching, I went and told one of my sons, this is what the 70 weeks of Daniel is. You need to make sure after you learn something that you give it out right away, because then you'll remember it even more so. But I want to give it out to you even more. So out of the 70 weeks of Daniel prophesied until the second coming of Christ, 69 of those 77-year periods have already been fulfilled. What is the last 7-year period? The tribulation. What happens before the tribulation? The rapture. Okay. If 69 have already happened and 70 sets the tribulation into roll, what are we waiting for? Nothing. Yeah, we're waiting for the last person to get saved and for the Lord to take us. That's what we're waiting for. So if that does not stir you to urgency right now in this day and age in which we're living, I don't know what will. For me, the rapture of the church is on our heels. This is not time for us to be saying, I love the Lord and living a carnal life. It is time for us to say, I love the Lord and living an obedient life so that people would be drawn to Jesus by our lives because we are the light of the world. We're the light, the Christians. And if we're not living a godly, righteous, obedient life in Christ, we will not be a light. I'm going to read to you from something I've been reading in my devotions. I've been reading through Jeremiah, and I tend to not read Jeremiah very closely because he's a, you know, nobody got saved. It's a depressing book, you know. It's just, they call him the weeping prophet because he's always crying and crying out to God. And so I'm just like, man, that's kind of depressing. But the Lord so blessed me in my devotions yesterday. And I'm going to find in Jeremiah 13, it's all about the people at the time of the state of Jeremiah's lifetime. It's their state of mind. It's their carnality. It's their refusing to walk with the Lord and to obey his commands. And it reminded me of today. So when I read it, just like when we read about Noah and Lot, same as in Jeremiah chapter 13. This is what it says. If you want to flip there, it's a great, in fact, you know what? Flip there. Find Jeremiah 13 because there's a couple words that I want you to make note of. Underline them. And you'll see the similarity of what I'm talking about. So kind of towards the middle, but to the back of the Old Testament, Isaiah, Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs. You keep going, Ecclesiastes, down that way. So, okay, Jeremiah 13, chapter 13, verse 1. It says, thus says the Lord to me. How interesting is this story? Listen to this. I'm like, have I ever read that before about Jeremiah? Because I probably skimmed over the book and didn't really grab it. So here we go. Thus says the Lord to me, go and buy a linen loincloth and put it around your waist and do not dip it in water. So I bought a loincloth, this is Jeremiah talking, according to the word of the Lord, and I put it around my waist. And then the word of the Lord came to me a second time. And he said, take the loincloth that you have bought, which is around your waist, and arise and go to the Euphrates and hide it there in the cleft of the rock. So I went and hid it in the cleft of the rock in Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. And after many days, the Lord said to me, arise and go to Euphrates and take from there the loincloth that I commanded you to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates and dug, and I took the loincloth from the place where it was hidden. And behold, the loincloth was spoiled and good for nothing. That's what I want you to underline first. Spoiled and good for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Thus saith the Lord, be even so, I will spoil the pride of Judah and a great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who stubbornly follow their own heart and have gone after other gods to serve them and worship them, shall be like this loincloth, which is good. There it is, underline it, good for nothing. For as the loincloth clings to the waist of a man, so I made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to me, declares the Lord, that they might be my people, a name, a praise, and a glory. Underline this. But they would not listen. God's desire, ladies, is that we cling to him. But there are times where we simply do not listen. We don't listen to what the Lord is asking us to do. He says, I want you to cling to me. And he even gives us a picture of this loincloth, and then it's taken off and it's hid for a while. Sound familiar? Anybody done that before? Hid it for a while. What happens when you hide your Christianity? It is spoiled and good for nothing. You're good for nothing if you are not listening to the Lord and obeying his commands. The two go together. I can read the Bible through and through and through. And if I choose not to listen to what the Bible says and I choose not to obey the commands of God, I am good for nothing because I did not listen. That is our responsibility. You read the word. Yes, how many times have I told you, read the Bible. If you could do one thing that I could exhort you, read the word. But you have to put it into practice. You have to obey it. You can read the word and read it and read it and tell me I've read the word three times all the way through. But I'm living a carnal life. It doesn't do any good. We have to read the word, be instructed in the word, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to live an obedient life in Christ. Amen? Yes. That's what's missing, ladies. That's what's missing in our churches. That's what's missing in our Christian groups. People who are actually willing to take what they hear and to obey the word of God. When you're in love with someone, you seek to do whatever that person wants to do, let's say. At that point, it doesn't really matter what you want to do, does it? When I fell in love with my husband, sure, you want to do that? Let's do it, you know? And you're much more compliant when you're falling in love with someone and you love them and whatever you want to do, and I will climb the tallest mountain for you, you know, and leap across the greatest sea. I will do anything for you. When we're in love with somebody, I am in love with my husband still after 20 years, but I love my dog. And I love my kids, but I'm in love with my husband. There's a difference. I also love Mexican food, okay? So, and I love coffee. So, but I'm in love with my husband. So the way my relationship is with my husband is different than with my dog, yes? And different than with my children and with coffee and Mexican food and whatever other things that I say I love. Do you get what I'm saying here? There is a difference between saying, I love you and I am in love with you. When we finally fall in love with Jesus, nothing else matters, does it? Nothing else matters. The world still revolves and exists and I have my responsibilities, but nothing else matters when I am in love with Jesus Christ. There are many people that claim to love Christ today in this day and age. But my question to you would be, are you in love with Jesus? Are you in love with Jesus? Do you know that that is his greatest desire for you? To be in love with him? Not just to say, I love you, Lord. Raise my hands, I love you, Lord. But to actually fall in love with him. What did it take for you to fall in love with your husband if you're married? You know, spending time, right? I mean, you have to spend time with somebody to get to know them, yes? To understand them, and then you fall madly in love. If you are not in love with Jesus today, maybe it's because you haven't spent time getting to know him. You have to know him to fall in love with him. And then, as I said, nothing else really matters. Because if you have fallen in love with Jesus Christ, everything else, your relationships with other people, on the workplace, everything else pales in comparison to falling in love with Jesus Christ. You know, for each of my kids, I'm waiting. I wait for them to fall in love with Jesus. And some, I have to wait longer than others. And you may understand that as well if you have children. And I tell my kids, there's a difference between saying, I love the Lord, and actually falling in love with Jesus. And I use our oldest son as an example to our younger kids. Jake has fallen in love with Jesus. It took him 18 years, but he did it. He has fallen in love. And when you fall in love with Jesus, nothing else matters because you're so in love with the Lord. Yeah, he wants to get married. Yeah, he wants to serve the Lord. He's in Hawaii right now in Bible college. But he is in love with the Lord. He's in love with Jesus. If you are not married today, you devote your life, your energy to falling madly in love with Jesus Christ. Because then you've got it before you fall in love with someone else, with your husband, let's say. You've taken that time. You've fallen in love with Jesus. I shared with you a couple weeks ago, why do you think Paul the Apostle, after he got saved, was taken into the desert for 3 years? He fell in love with Jesus Christ. Why did the disciples, for 3 years, before they started their public ministry, spend all that time with Jesus? To fall in love with Jesus Christ. You need your honeymoon with Jesus. When you fall in love with somebody, you get married, you need to marry Jesus. You go on your honeymoon, and it's your time with him where you're just basking in his presence. And the honeymoon never stops. It continues. It just looks a little different when you've got kids and husbands and all these other responsibility. But if you now, as a single woman, can commit to falling in love with Jesus first, your marriage is going to be blessed. Your family is going to be blessed. You will have a blessed life. Amen? There is also evidence when we're in love with Jesus. When we have fallen in love with Jesus, our life is a reflection of that, isn't it? There's evidence. There's something. When I fell in love with my husband, you could see the evidence. Little notes on his car and everywhere. I mean, there was evidence that I was in love with him. And the same is true with us in our relationship with Jesus Christ. When we fall in love with him, there's evidence, there's fruit that we truly are in love. Not just we love him, but we are in love with him. Here again, it goes back to obedience, which means the definition of obedience is compliance or submission to one's wishes or orders. I'll say that again. Obedience is compliance or submission to one's wishes or orders. It is the Lord's wishes that we obey his commands. And his commands are an order. And we are to obey them because we love him, because we are in love with him. Again, evidence of our love relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, in our text today, we will see a group of people that aren't quite so obedient to God's word. And therefore, there's repercussions to that. He says the wrath of God is poured out upon them. Let's go ahead and take a look. Beginning at verse 18, back, flipping back. We're in Jeremiah. We're everywhere today. Now we're back in Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read through the whole text because it's really, you can't break it up. You got to read it together. So, we just got done with Paul ending saying, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, right? We're not ashamed of it. And now he goes into the wrath of God. He says in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew him, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in their lusts of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their flesh for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves a penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, unworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, woo, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Wow. Heavy. I know I told you it was going to be heavy today. Lots of people praying for me today that I could deliver this message in grace. This list of 24 sins for those of us who think maybe I did not see myself on that list anywhere, well, let me define a few things for you. To covet, to be greedy, malicious, feeling the need to see others suffer, whisperers, those who tell secrets, strife, those who quarrel, fight, create conflict, backbiters, one who attacks the reputation of another by slander, undiscerning, unloving, unforgivable, unforgiving, unmerciful, all of these are deserving of death. How far mankind has fallen where we begin exchanging the natural for the unnatural, when we begin exchanging what God has asked us and created us to do, which was to glorify Him, for exchanging that for worshiping idols. We began knowing God. Humankind began in a relationship, if you go back to Adam and Eve, knowing God. It wasn't the other way around. You didn't know God, and then you get saved, and you know God. No, 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 no. You start knowing God, you turn from Him, and then we come back to knowing God. The verdict of all this that we read, verse 20, underline it. We are without what? Without excuse. God has clearly revealed Himself through creation so that no one has any excuse. You say, what about the people who are in the jungles of Africa? Guess what? God made a way for them to. It says that He is revealed through creation. Somehow through the incredible creation that God has given us, He is able to somehow minister to those people who are unreachable. God can reach them through His magnificence of creation. It's amazing. Human history began with people knowing God, turning from the truth and rejecting God, and then being that there was no other way, God gave us Jesus as our Redeemer. A couple things we know about God. He's created the world, and everybody in the world, most people understand that there was a creator of it. Maybe they don't believe it's God, but humans realize that there's a creator, and that creator is eternal, and that these facts are not hidden in creation, as some may say, but these facts are clearly seen through creation. But there will come a day when God will put an end to His long suffering. And it says here in the scripture that He will pour down wrath upon a God-rejecting world. And it's our job as believers to be that light, to carry the gospel message to the dying world of which we are all called and commanded to share. Now, if I'm not walking in obedience with the Lord, I'm not going to feel comfortable probably sharing the gospel. So if you're walking in obedience to the Lord, there's nothing holding you back from sharing the gospel with those that you love and care about. You don't have to go to Africa to share the gospel. We can go to the grocery store. We can go to school. We can go to our workplace. We can go to our neighbors. Whoever the Lord has you around, that is your sphere of influence. The Lord will make opportunities for you. He will present them on a daily basis. And the question is, will we obey? Will we obey that nudging? Go talk to them. Someone's crying. Go see if they're okay. Go see if they need help. That's the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The more we respond to that tugging of His Spirit, the easier it will be to hear Him the next time, and the next time, and the next time. But if we say no, 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 eventually we will dull our senses and we won't hear the Holy Spirit's tugging on our heart anymore. Verse 21 says, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The word glorify means to, I want you to underline that, and then maybe write to the side, write the definition in your Bible. It means to make known by one's actions. To make known by one's actions is glorify. And then futile right there, underline that word. Futile means fruitless. Fruitless. If we know the truth and yet choose not to glorify the Lord with our actions, then our life is fruitless. Remember what Jeremiah said. Good for nothing. Fruitless. Do you want your life to be fruitless for the Lord? No. I mean, how many of us would say, yes, I want my life to be fruitless? No. We want our life to be fruitful. Fruitful. We want to bear much fruit. We want God to use us in incredible ways. Which of us does not want to stand before Jesus Christ and have Him say to us, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. That is what we're longing for. Yes, that is what we want. We want to hear that. We want fruitful lives. We want to hear the Lord say, well done, enter in to my joy. You did good. You did good, girl. You did good. We want to hear Him say, you did well with what I gave you. We want our lives to count for something eternal. We want to hear the Lord say that. Some of us are seeking, though, to redeem the time we lost. Some of us lost a lot of time walking in the world. Guess what? You can do it. It's possible to redeem that time. It's not lost. You're not hopeless. It is possible to redeem the time. Guess how you redeem it? Obedience. Be obedient to the Word of God, to the Holy Spirit, and you will be fruitful. You will be fruitful. Your life will be fruitful. Your ministry will be fruitful if you abide in Christ. What does abide mean? To remain, to dwell, to live, to abide. You stay there. You cling. As that loincloth was clinging to Jeremiah, that's a visual for us. Cling to Him. Abide with Him. Be in love with Jesus Christ. It's not too late. Oswald Chambers said, 5 minutes of obeying the Lord is better than years about reading about it. I can read about obedience, but if I obey the Lord, Boom, 5 minutes, and I mean, it's just like heaven opens up. It's amazing when we obey. There's plenty of work to be done, ladies. Plenty of people that need to hear the gospel. Plenty of people that need to respond to the gospel. Plenty of carnal Christians that need to start obeying and living this type of righteous life before Christ. It's powerful. There's power in a life that is not compromised in Christ. Well, verse 18 says that the wrath of God will be poured out on those who suppress the truth. Underline that word, suppress. Verse 18. To suppress means to hold down. There are those who know God and yet suppress or hold down the truth in their lives or in someone else's life. We can suppress the truth in someone else's life if we are unequally yoked with somebody that is not walking with the Lord, or vice versa. We can suppress the truth in their life by not obeying ourselves. I have suppressed the truth in my own life at times by not obeying what I knew I should do. This in turn not only affects me, it affects others. It affects my husband. It affects my relationship with him. It affects my relationship with my children. It affects the relationship with those that I seek to pour into. It affects all of my relationships when I choose not to obey the Lord. Let me ask you today, are you suppressing the truth in your own life by not obeying the Lord? Has the Holy Spirit gently put his finger on an area of your life and said, this is it right here? Or a couple areas, maybe. These are the areas. Let me encourage you today, to obey is better than to sacrifice. As you obey the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, the Word of God will be open to you in the most incredible ways. If you read the Word and you say, I'm not getting anything, maybe you're not obeying him in an area of your life. When we read the Word of God, it's open to us. And I will tell you just very candidly that the more I obey God in every single teeny tiny little, I'm not talking big things, but I'm talking, it doesn't matter to the Lord, they're all the same, right? But in my life, I would say they're little. When I say, I'm going to obey you in this area because you put your finger on it, amazing how the scripture has opened to me. Jeremiah, hello, I've read Jeremiah before, but this time because I'm seeking to obey Christ in every single area of my life, it is wonderful. I love Jeremiah. Man, that guy was persistent. Poor guy. But, oh, I mean, did you get that when I read it? He listened to God. He was having this incredible dialogue with God. God said this, I did this. God said this, I did this. I responded. I said this. You know, I mean, it was just this incredible dialogue. I love him. I would have missed out on Jeremiah had I not sought to obey the Lord in every single area of my life. You know, the Lord told me several years ago when I've not had this addiction for quite some time, but I was bulimic. And so, bulimic anorexic. So the Lord told me, do not look at magazines. And so I knew that was a struggle for me. And for some of you, you may think that's ridiculous. Not for me. It was a big deal. So for me, I just got my hair done last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago. And I'm sitting there in the salon, and there's like a zillion magazines, and I'm just sitting there going, okay. And it was a temptation to just open it up, just look, just see, just whatever. Nope, I will not do because you put your finger on it. So I opened my Bible, and I sat there in the salon and read my Bible. What? I mean, for me, that was victory. And you can have that victory in your life, too, by not giving in. Because, you know, when you give in, you suppress the truth. You're holding back the truth. But if we say, I will not go there, I will not give in to that temptation, because you know if you're walking the Lord and you want to obey him, there's going to be temptation. That's the way it works. It just happens that way because the enemy wants you to trip up and fall and forever be ruined. No, you have victory in Christ because if you know Jesus Christ today, when you asked him in your heart, the Holy Spirit came in as well. The Holy Spirit lives inside you and resides inside of your life, and he is the one who puts his finger on areas of our life. He is the one who convicts us. That's the Holy Spirit. Before you knew the Lord, the Holy Spirit was with you. When you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came inside you. But then there's another work of the Holy Spirit coming upon you, actually giving you the power to minister and be bold in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to give you an opportunity today to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, because we cannot obey without the Holy Spirit. I've tried. Have any of you tried? Don't raise your hands. Just nod. Okay, there we go. I have tried to obey the Holy Spirit in my flesh. Isn't that crazy? I've tried to obey the Spirit in my flesh. How does that work? I don't know. I have tried, so tried. And guess what? I have failed every single time. I cannot do it, but he can. He can do it in and through me, and he can do it in and through you as well. Oswald Chambers said, "You will never get the revelations of God opened up to you by philosophy or thinking, but immediately when you obey, a flash of light comes. Obey God in the things he shows you, and instantly the next thing will open up to you." One can read volumes about the work of the Holy Spirit, and yet in just 5 minutes of drastic obedience, God will make things as clear as a sunbeam. It's so true. When we just obey, I'm telling you, in the salon, I had victory. Seriously, I mean, it may seem little, but I'm like, I will not give in to looking at a magazine if you told me not to do it. I want to obey. So, I mean, and there's lots of other areas. That was just one little one that I wanted to share with you. You can see how piddly sometimes it can be. But God wants everything. He wants us not to gossip. He wants us to hold our tongues. When we want to say something, he wants us not to whisper secrets. And actually what it means is it's like a small, like, tone like this, where you're trying to get people not to hear you. That is just whisper. It's a whisper, but what you're whispering is secrets. He wants us not to do that. He wants us not to lie, we talked about, or exaggerate the truth, because we know that an exaggeration, a half-truth, is a lie, right? It's the same thing. You know, a lie is, you know, it doesn't have to be white or purple or black or any other color. A lie is a lie. So that's an area that he would say, stop it. Stop it. Stop lying. Stop exaggerating. Tell the truth. If the fish was this big, it was this big. Don't make it this big. Or let's change the illustration. If the shoes cost this much, you know, I mean this much, don't say they cost this much. Is that what we do? Oh, honey, I got a really good deal. Yeah, they were on like triple sale, you know, like markdown, markdown, markdown. Let's just be honest. Okay, you know, I mean, those are the areas. Let's just be upright and honest and righteous. For some of you, as I said, these things may be big. Big things God put his finger on today, even as I'm talking. They may be little things. They may be, you know, the exaggerations or little things. But the Lord wants obedience in all areas of our lives. And the most amazing thing is when you start obeying those little things, you'll find out how hard it is. You'll be like, man, that was hard to resist that. And but the Holy Spirit will be open to you, and the Word of God will no longer just be words. It will be life and power. And as you read it, you'll be like, yes, I understood it, and I applied it to my life, and I didn't have to listen to a pastor. You know, like, yes, I got it. That was exciting for me. The first time I actually read the Word and understood it on my own through the Holy Spirit and not somebody else telling me, it's amazing. But that opens up even more and more and more the more you obey it. A good rule of thumb is if you have to justify something or someone, chances are it's not the Lord. Remember that. If you're backpedaling and justifying, oh, but, nope, not the Lord. You just stop right there, confess your sin. I'm sorry, I was late because I was late. You know, yeah, there was traffic, but there wasn't a whole lot of traffic, or whatever we tend to do to make us look better. That's mine. So, you know, yes, forgive me, you know. I think of Kay Smith. I shared that story with you, how she, you know, she told a lie. She told a lot to her girlfriends, and she just was so just distraught about it. And she called all of her girlfriends and told them, you know, I lied. I didn't really have a blood test. And I don't know, you all were talking about it, and it sounded like, yeah, I should have, and I didn't. And but she confessed it, and they laughed, of course, about it because they thought it was insignificant. But the point is, it was significant to her. Why? Because it separates us from the Lord, you know, and so she didn't want that to happen. So I once had a girl who said she loved the Lord, but I don't think that she's in love with the Lord. She once said to me, I talked to her about partying and that kind of stuff, and, you know, how it's not glorifying to the Lord, you know, and she said, well, I just go to the parties. I don't drink, but I'm the one who is a designated driver. I drive all my drunk friends home. And I said, then you're taking part in that. You're taking part of it. And we read it here in our scripture. It reminds me of verse 32. It says, you may not do it, but if you're approving of that, it's just the same. You're approving of that act. That's okay. I'm just there. I'm going to drive everyone home that's drunk and smashed and, you know, whatever they did, and that'll be me. And I just thought, no, you're just as guilty as they are because you're not saying no to sin. You're approving of it. Even if you look good, like I'm the good girl in it. No, we can't do that. We need to say no to it. There's a progression of hardening one's heart towards God as we refuse to listen and obey. And we see the progression here. And what I want you to do is I want you just to highlight these words, one word in each verse. Verse 18, you already did it because I asked you to, suppress. So you can underline it, put a box it, circle it, whatever you like to do. Verse 21, the word is glorify. And verse 25, the word is lie. In verse 28, abandonment. Suppress, glorify, lie, abandonment. We see that the result in verse 18 of suppressing or holding down the truth leads to not glorifying or making your actions known in verse 21. To refusing it there in verse 21 and 22. It talks about not glorifying the Lord and therefore refusing it. So suppressing it, refusing it, it leads to verse 25, lying. Then here's the progression, not telling the truth. And then finally in verse 28, complete abandonment. Look at the progression. It's amazing. Suppressing the truth leads to refusing it and then lying about it and finally complete abandonment of the truth. How many of us have been there? Let's not raise our hands, but I'm sure we all would say, yeah, I have been there. I've been in that progression before. Maybe you haven't abandoned, but I've seen that or I've been part of that progression. When I first got saved at 15, I so desperately wanted to walk with the Lord, but I didn't obey certain areas. And so I didn't walk with the Lord. And then at 16, the Holy Spirit was so sweet to woo me again. Same thing. Recommitted my life to the Lord, didn't obey those areas that I knew I was supposed to. But the Lord did not let me go. At age 19, he wooed me and got me, and that's when I fell in love with Jesus Christ. Praise God, it was a young age. You know, really, in this day and age, 19, to fall in love with Jesus Christ. But I'm glad that he kept after me. Just think if he said, okay, you two times, and then you're out. Nope. The Lord keeps after us, and he keeps after us, and he keeps after us. But guess what? At some point in time, we don't know when, he's going to say enough. I've been long-suffering with you. I have been patient with you. I have tried with you. I have wooed you, just like the children of Israel, and you have refused me, lied, not glorified me, and abandoned me. And that's when the wrath of God will be poured out on the world. Oh, that the Lord would save those that may come to mind right now. because I know several come to mind in my family and friends that do not know the Lord. My prayer is just like with me, that the Holy Spirit would woo them. And maybe if they receive the Lord and then didn't obey and received and didn't obey, and maybe it's been 10 times, at some point my prayer is that they would respond. And I know some of you have people that you can think of that you're praying for, that you want them to respond to the gospel before it's too late. Obedience starts with us, ladies. But then it trickles down to our kids and our husbands and our family members. Let's be those ladies who are obedient to the Lord, who stand for what is right, who stand for righteousness. Let's be those ladies who want to obey the Lord and who are waging this war with our armor that the Lord gives us and he equips us with. I'm going to ask Allison to come back up here and close us in a song. And as she's singing, I'm going to ask that if there's an area that the Holy Spirit has put his finger on in your life, that you would stand to your feet. It's a bold. If you are truly ready to give it up and say, I am done, I want to obey you, I want all you have for me, I have been suppressing this, I've been holding it back, as she sings, just stand to your feet, and we're just gonna pray for you that God would fill you with his Holy Spirit and give you the power to obey, because we need it. We're all family here. Don't be afraid, don't be embarrassed. So let's go ahead and worship, and if just do a little time with the Lord. We have 5 minutes. So just pray it in and say, Lord, if there's something that I have not, even little, even if it's tiny or it could be big, you show me and help me to stand to my feet in obedience that I do want to do what's right.